The ultimate gospel experience. W300 CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach. The new Praise 107.9.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Yeah. Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarman Leitner. Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We thank our listeners for tuning in this morning and every morning at 8 a.m. And I am in the studio. I am your co-host. I am president of First Thursday Jacksonville, as well as president of Harvest Intervention Services. And one of my wonderful co-hosts is joining us on the line, Larry Williams. And our other awesome co-host is traveling today, Dr. Danford. So we do have some special guests, Larry. I know you're on the line, but we have some very special guests in the studio with us this morning. And I have the pleasure of teaching and training them and being their spiritual nanny, as our first lady would say, and that's my son, Elias, and daughter, Eliana. Say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. All right, Larry. So good morning. How are you?
So good morning and happy Saturday, Jacksonville and surrounding areas across the country that might be tuning in to our live stream, radio stream. It's, just thank God for another opportunity to be alive and well. And doing this show, it's February. Yes. So, kids in the studio, what month is this?
What month is February?
Black History Month.
All right.
That's right. It is Black History Month, and I'm going to just share. You know, every Saturday this month, we wanted to highlight have a Black History moment, and today we're highlighting Ella Josephine Baker. And she's just known for working behind the scenes as an organizer to some of the sit-ins and the movements that took place in the 1970s. She was part of an organization called the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and they fought for civil rights. Okay, and she was a political activist, born in Virginia, and very key to the civil rights movement. So that's Ella Baker.
All right. And that's what we're talking about. It's always good to know your history. If you know your history, you'll know your greatness. And thank you for that, Jarman. Jarman, there's a lot going on around the country and locally, you know, dealing with crime. I'm sitting here watching the national news and seeing that there was another shooting, mass shooting in another area of the country that, you know, that affected this is senseless stuff. Okay. We're talking off the air about the difference in the types of crime and why it's being magnified now. And we all have, and if we don't, we need to understand. And before I get into that, John, we invite our listeners to call in if they want to chime in at 296-2251, because I know it's a lot that they want to talk about. They talk to us off the air all the time. So if you have some comments, you know, call in 296-2251 and share it with the listeners, because they need to hear from you as well. You know, we try to give an objective view of what's going on, but at the same time, there are things that are affecting our community that require some subjectivity. So that being said, there was another shooting at a park in Jacksonville. Two people killed, two injured. You know, I just go back to the deal. Where are all these 180 police that we were supposed to hire? You know, where's the sheriff and the mayor on this?
Yes,
you know, each time we come back, it's another quote unquote senseless killing and shootings and things, but we don't see anything that's being done. The sheriff has offered and has instituted a huge overtime for his shifts, for his offices. Where are they?
Yes, and then we have the.
They're not in the areas where the crime is being committed.
Yes, yeah, so there are a few things that have been done to reduce crime. The $300,000+ towards the shot spotters, like you mentioned, the additional police officers, and we have the overtime, but we're still seeing high amount of crime in the same areas.
And increasing crime, not just
and increasing, okay.
And increasing in the crime in the community. And it's in the same areas on the north and the west sides of Jacksonville. You know, I would ask anyone out there with the JSO who knows, you know, where are the officers? You know, it takes almost, and I'd like to hear that from the sheriff, and I'll check with him. But, you know, it takes almost twice as long for them to respond in those areas as it does the general areas. So, you know, there has to be some accountability here that we're not currently seeing. And we need to make sure that people in whatever part of the city they live in be afforded the same opportunity for service and protection. And that's what the JSO's motto is,
and
protect.
Yes, and like we mentioned off the air, more crime prevention programs, like funding that's allocated towards actual preventative measures as opposed to reactive measures. You know, where
but John, you know, it has to be more than just talk, you know, or more studies. We've studied this together. We've task forced it to ad nauseum.
Yes.
You know, it's time for some real action and meet with the people in those areas where the crime is being committed. Maybe they have some solutions for you. You know, these task force and you know, panels and do nothing programs aren't working.
Yes, we need leaders that are not just pushers and users and abusers, you know, just pushing the paper, you know, using the positions and the opportunities or abusing the power. We need those that are going to actually implement what their mission and purpose is so that we can see change in these areas that desperately need it.
Absolutely. I was hoping Richard, Doc, would have been there this morning, because I'd certainly like to hear what they are doing on the task force. It's getting to the point of frustration for many of us, and you know, we need to see some tangible results.
Well, the task force has about 9 subcommittees, so that's a pretty large amount of subcommittees to take care of. Of developing, you know, working together as a team to develop a program or measures that would reduce the crime and hopefully prevent it. Like you said, if Doc was here, we could ask him, you know, what their next steps are or what ideas that they have moving forward. So hopefully this.
I don't see Doc's name on any of the committees, and so I think we need to call the chairman of that task force and invite him back on the air to discuss this, and I think I'll put that on your plate to try and accomplish for the next couple of weeks. We need some answers, and we need to hear what's going on. You know, if you're going to have a task force and be placing measures that are going to help prevent crime, then it needs to have some transparency, you know, working behind the closed doors and then coming out with a plan that doesn't involve the people that are the ones who are mainly being affected isn't effective leadership to me.
Okay, so.
And that's just my personal opinion.
So, again, if you have any comments or questions about what we're discussing today, the telephone number is 296-2251, 296-2251. And again, we're looking for solutions, you know, for the community. I mean, this is the Empowerment Hour. We're here to share information. resources, and we're here to hopefully get some answers. We don't have all the answers, but we also have questions, and we know our listeners do as well. So call in if you have any questions or comments, and we're getting ready. Steve, are we ready for a break? Yes, we are. Okay. Steve's getting things together in the studio, so we apologize for the technical difficulties. All right. We thank you for tuning in. Yes, he's getting ready to get it set up. He said we've been having technical issues in the studio for a couple of Saturdays, but we're going to listen to some music, some praise music, and we'll be back in a moment. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. right. Yes, Lord. Less of me, more of you. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarman Lightner, your co-host in the studio, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we just continue to invite our listeners again to call in at 296-2251 if you have any questions or comments on our topics this morning. So, Larry, I know that we have a lot of sports fans, maybe some Colin Kaepernick fans. And we see that there has been some settlement in the lawsuit surrounding Colin and Eric Reed.
Yes, and you know, quite frankly, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of this topic. I was, you know, we would hope that in 2019 that we wouldn't be having these conversations about race and so forth, but it's still. It's a big part of our lives, and you know, we can't sweep it under the rug. I think that's one of the things that's caused us to be in this situation where we are now, is the fact that people don't want to address race, and,
yes,
and race is a significant part of what we do. I wish we, as some folks like to think, that we could live in a colorblind society, but when I look in the mirror and I look around my family, I don't see colorless. You know, yeah. I see what they are. And we need to own up to that and realize that it is it's not a colorblind society, and we don't live in one, and we're probably many years from being that way. So that being said, the NFL, the National Football League, and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed settled out of court their collusion case. And collusion, John, I think if you look it up, it means that a coming together of a group to deny an individual or organization their due rights and, you know, plot against that individuals, those individuals. And in this case, the attorneys for Reed and Kaepernick decided that they wanted to hold the NFL accountable for them not having jobs in the NFL when they knew felt that their attorneys felt that they should be in the league and definitely had better talent than some of the people at their positions across the league. Bottom line scenario is that instead of going to court and having the owners that were accused as well as the head of the NFL come and have depositions, the NFL didn't want to air their dirty laundry. So, apparently, anytime that you, and this is my little knowledge of law, when you settle, that means that you feel that you couldn't have won the case in court, or it was to your advantage to settle monetarily out of court.
Okay.
So the NFL is pretty much saying that, hey, you know, we don't have enough to say that we can win this case, so let's settle it. They put a gag order, obviously, on the attorneys and the players to not have any public conversation about the settlement. Okay, again, lack of transparency by the NFL and the powers that be. One of the things that we probably will never know are the total details of what transpired behind the scenes. And, you know, again, it all had to do with those players and others who, you know, demanded that they have their freedom of speech and their freedom of expression that was denied them by the NFL.
Yes.
You know, again, we get back into this situation where, you know, it's, they're on the contract, and basically most employees follow the direction of their management or ownership. However, you know, when ownership and management step into your private space, then, you know, it's up to you as an individual to express your freedom of doing what you allowed to do, and then you pay for the circumstances. You know, Kaepernick has been out the league for 3 years now. Eric Reed was out for a year. He's back in the league now. And it's ironic that the NFL settled with him, okay, signed him to a new contract while he he was suing them. So, you know, it's a bunch of things going on there. We'll probably never know the total truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that, you know, the truth is revealing, and transparency is something that most private organizations and clubs, and I call the NFL club because it's a club of 32 that owners that pretty much do and say what they want to do and treat their employees accordingly. That being said, Eric, those two players now probably have enough money to retire and have been paid for, you know, their circumstances. And the bottom line is, again, it didn't really settle anything because of the settlement.
Right. The truth of the collusion, all of that is just, you know, it's still hidden. Okay, it was a settlement, so nothing.
It's mired and will probably ever, forever be buried until something else happens when, you know, the players challenge their freedom again. And it's, you know, the NFL is, the Players Association is the NFL's union to address these types of things. And when the Players Union and the NFL management ownership groups can't get together, then they go to arbitration or court. And so we spent more time, I shouldn't say we, the NFL and the Players Association have spent more time in court these past few years than they have on the field.
Well, Cap, I just wanted to highlight Kaepernick's latest ads with Nike says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So, you know, he stood up for what he believed in and, you know, ended up not doing what he really loved to do, which was play football. And he sacrificed that, you know, not to compromise what he believed in. So,
Gentlemen, you know, it's, you know, for many of us, that is just a theory, you know, that, you know, we can say those things. Well, you know, if it were me, I would have done the same thing. But most people would say, if it were me, I wouldn't have done that because I wouldn't have had the patience and the perseverance to withstand these 3 years of torture that these players have gone through, you know, against the public backlash of their indignity, so to speak, of kneeling during the national anthem.
Right. And, you know, that's the situation. You have to be bold, you know, and stand up for what you believe. But, you know, lots of times we fear those consequences. And so instead of standing up for what we believe, we compromise and just, you know, go along with it. And I just commend him for standing up. And even though it spearheaded a whole lot in this country, it needed to be brought again to the forefront because, like you mentioned, racism is alive and well, and it still exists, and we're experiencing it every day.
Yeah, and you know, it's not to say that everybody is racist of one sort or the other, but we all have challenges in our communities and in our race that need to be addressed, and just because you're doing well doesn't mean that everyone else is, and vice versa. So, you know, again, the only way that we're going to ever have any conscience about what's going on regarding race is that we start addressing it and have transparency in our addressing the situation and the challenges as they come about day to day, you know.
Yes.
And we need more people like Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid to stand up and be counted and not be so driven by the dollar, the almighty dollar, that we'll compromise our ethics and so forth just for a few more dollars.
And as individuals, we have to, you know, check our hearts, you know, and make sure, you know, if we have some hatred, you know, love is what conquers all of that. And we have to make sure we're not the ones perpetuating the hate, especially if we say,
absolutely,
you know, we believe in God and through Christ Jesus, you know, that no hate has anything to do with God and Christ. So we have to live according to love and treat people with dignity and respect and honor, and not oppress, you know, people based on their color, race, choices, any of those things. You know, we have to allow people to be there in their individualism.
Well, Jama, I think we have to take it a little bit deeper, you know, because there's a lot of people don't believe in God and so forth. So, you know, you have to trust your heart. You know, you have to, in our minds and hearts, that you know, most people know right from wrong. And if you don't, then, you know, go somewhere and learn it. But, you know, having love and so forth and is great. But, you know, it's a matter of how you display it and how what actions you take day to day to see that other people that you approach and deal with other people like you would have them and want them to approach and deal with you. You know, if you're talking about love and so forth, you know, it can't be a one-way street.
Absolutely. And speaking of love, the next song that we're going to hear is entitled Love Theory by Kirk Franklin. So we're going to take a praise break and we'll be back. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see your life was the only gift I'll ever need to be free? It's amazing with you. I win even if I lose. Everything's working for my good for always.
Come on.
He saved the day. Woo. He will come through. Keep on now. That's not what superheroes do.
Hallelujah.
No greater love makes my heart beat. All I wanna do is make you proud of me.
That's why. Let's go.
How can it be? Every one of my secrets that you keep.
You cover me.
You cover me.
I appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to see like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good.
Tell you what he does.
He saves the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah.
Keep on now. That's not what superheroes do.
Not real superheroes.
No greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
And I promise you,
all I wanna do is make you proud of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody. Nobody but you.
I searched all over.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
That's right.
I don't wanna love nobody. Love nobody but you.
Yes. And the church sang, come on.
Loving you will be.
Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Let me tell you what it means. That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Father.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
keep on.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
you're the savior.
I don't want to love nobody but you. I don't want to love nobody but you.
All right. Yes, the greatest love is of God through Jesus Christ. And welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner in the studio, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we were talking about hate and love before we ended the last segment. So we want to come back in just promoting love. Everybody just look to love, share love with everyone and not hate. So Larry, we want to talk about a little bit about what's going on in Florida with some of the scholarships that Governor DeSantis he's making a lot of changes, and it looks like there's going to be some more money. And I know we talk a lot about money and budgets, and we're not sure where this extra money is coming from, but he's going to increase the amount of money for the Gardner Scholarship, which is the scholarship for special needs students in the state of Florida. And he also wants to create a new scholarship that's similar to the Florida Tech Scholarship for students of low-income families to have their choice at private schools. So
that's an interesting conundrum there, John and Steve. And by the way, Dr. Danford is out traveling today. So, Doc, if you're listening or someone's listening, we're having a great show. Wish you was here. Look forward to seeing you back in the studio next week.
Yes.
But, John, you brought up the Gardner Scholarship. I wasn't not that familiar with the Gardner Scholarship. What is the Gardner Scholarship, and who does it affect?
Okay, so the Gardner Scholarship, it's an allocated amount of funds for students with special needs to either go to private schools that are specialized, to help them in their area of need, or that scholarship funding can be used for separate services if they, needed behavior services or counseling, some of the services that Harvest Intervention provides, because we also accept the Gardner Scholarship. So if you are the age of 3 and you have a diagnosis of autism, Down syndrome, so the scholarship covers children from the ages of 3 as long as they have a diagnosis or an IEP, and they can use those funds, like I said, for support services. So that he's increased basically the pot of money so that there won't be so many families on the wait list waiting to get that money to start those support services.
Okay, so we're break it down to us. It sounds clinical. How do we get on a wait list? How do we get our children services? Is it something? What are the hoops they have to jump through to get a Gardner Scholarship? It sounds like something, that's complicated. And who are the most users of Gardner Scholarships? Is it for Title I kids that have the most need, or is it for those that are privileged?
It's for both if they have special needs. Okay, so if a child has a diagnosis or they have an IEP, they can go to the Step Up for Students website, and they can go through the application process. All the information is there. They have to submit an application online and wait to hear the response from Step Up for Students. They do have a priority. In the past, they've had prioritized who was going to get the funding first. I don't know the details of the priorities, but you have to get your application submitted. And with this additional funding, it sounds like Governor DeSantis wants to eliminate some of that wait time for families to receive the money.
But John, okay, I don't mean to belabor this, but most of our people that in on the north and the west side challenged with internet capabilities, don't have computers. Is there any other way to apply for this Gardner Scholarship?
Well,
and is there assistance available to help them with the process? Because I'm sure if it's something that has to be submitted, we have 27% of some of our inner city families that are illiterate and technologically illiterate.
Yes.
So what's in it? How can they access these scholarships?
Well, we can help them. I'll just say that Harvest Intervention Services, if you're interested in the Gardner Scholarship, you can call us at 595-6516. We'll be more than happy to assist you in filling out the application. We can schedule an appointment for you to come to our office to assist you in doing that. But the first step is to recognize that you want to get the support services for your child. You want to take them from the public school that they're in, either homeschool them and get them those services that they need, or send them to a private school that specializes in the services that they need. But if you need assistance, you can definitely contact Harvest Intervention Services at 595-6516. And you can also get more information on the Step Up for Students website.
Okay, is that you don't have that website?
That's it, stepupforstudents.org is the website.
Step Up. Slowly again.
Step up for students. Step up for students is the website. .org. I believe it's .org.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now
he has a new scholarship. There's a new scholarship that he wants to develop in order to assist students to go to private schools. Low income, not necessarily special needs. Okay. So this is just low income.
Okay. So low income means whatever it is. Let's look that up, what low income means, for next week's show, and so that
well, the poverty level, I believe,
have an idea.
Whatever the state poverty level is.
We need to know.
If we know, say, the percentages at below 150% below poverty level, I can double check it, but it's whatever standard according to qualifying for Medicaid and the SNAP program. If you qualify for those, then you will qualify for the scholarship.
So if they're a Title I child in the Duval County Public Schools district, then they probably qualify.
Correct. And okay. They could qualify for the scholarship in order to utilize it for a private school.
Mm-hmm. So this is something new Governor DeSantis wants to implement. And again, you know, it sounds like a noble deal where he's asking the Florida legislature to create a new scholarship program that's similar to the existing Florida tax credit scholarships. I'm not well enough versed in the, and I apologize to our listeners for this, but the Florida tax credit scholarships, I wish someone that in our listening audience has some information about that they could share with us. But, he wants to mimic that program through a new program. And he says that 70% of the students in the current program are Black or Hispanic. So, you know, we have it's going to be a challenge there, I'm sure, from some in the legislature that will oppose this program, because it adds a huge chunk to the already enormous state budget that DeSantis is calling for. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of support he gets for that. Are these new funds, or are these funds going to come out of the tax credit scholarships, or is he adding to that? These are questions that are yet to be answered.
Right, that's the question we don't know.
The announcement was very brief in the Daily Rag over there, the Times Union. So it's going to be interesting to follow this and see where it leads. If 70% of those folks on the wait list are Hispanic or Black, that means that 30% aren't, you know, and under the Florida Department of Education, is this another way to extract dollars, public dollars, for private institutions? I'm getting kind of, skeptical about these semantics of increasing budgets to support private entities.
Well, let me go back, because I explained the Florida Tax Scholarship is the one. There are two scholarships right there right now that are available. The Gardner Scholarship is specifically for children with special needs, regardless of income level, low income, mid income, high income. It doesn't matter. If you have special needs, you have a diagnosis, or you have an IEP, you qualify for the Gardner. You can qualify qualify for the Gardner Scholarship. The Florida Tax Scholarship is for low-income families in order for them to be able to enroll their child in a private school of their choice. So this new scholarship is going to be similar to the Florida Tech Scholarship. That's the one that we don't have enough details about. But there are two already out here, one specifically for special needs, one specifically for low income, and then there's a new one that DeSantis is bringing to the table.
So the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship is for high school students that want to attend private schools?
Is it for high school students that want to attend private? I didn't see it say specifically for high school students that want to attend high school. It just says low-income families for private schools. And again, if someone else out there has any details about this, from what I'm reading on the Florida Department of Education website, I don't see it say specifically high schools. It just says low-income families for private schools. And again, we're coming up on our Entrepreneur Corner. We're going to have to take a break, Larry. 296-2251. We encourage our small business owners to call in every Saturday to promote your business. Currently, it is at no cost, and you can get you some free exposure to those who are listening. So again, we're going to take a music break, and you can call in at 296-2251, and we'll be back.
The ultimate gospel experience. The new Praise 107.9. 107.9. 107.9.
Hey, it's Brian Poppin here. God put something on my heart just for you. That you were created for such a time. Such a time as this. Listen. I know it hurts, I know it's painful, I know the season you've been going through's not fun, but you're gonna make it, you can take it, with Jesus on your side you're gonna Cause I know this is your time. This is your season. So hold on.
Hold on.
Be strong.
Be strong. Cause you were created.
Such a time as this. Come on, help me say.
I know the season.
Just hold on and turn.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner in the studio, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams, and this is our Entrepreneur Corner. We encourage our small business owners to call in at 296-2251 to share with us your services or products. And we have our faithful listener, Michael Cobb. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I appreciate what you guys do in the community.
Thank you.
All right. And me and my wife, we own an Accentuate boutique located in the Jacksonville Landing. And what we're getting ready to do coming up soon next month is put together an event called The Taste of Soul, where we're featuring top soul food restaurants, caterers here on the First Coast. And we got a surprise celebrity chef will be a part of this event. The event will be held where you guys are hosting your radio show, the Salem Center, March the 16th. Okay. It's going to start at 6 p.m. The cost is $35, and we still have ticket opportunity. And if you want a vendor space, we got vendor space opportunity. Or if you're a chef or a caterer, give me a call, and we can see to get you part of this event. My personal cell is 904-625-7937, 904-625-7937.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Michael, for calling
and
in.
And Michael, thanks for calling. It's always good to hear you say that.
Same here, guys. Continue to do what you do here on the First Coast.
All right. Thank you.
It's good to hear businesses that when you see husband and wife working together cooperatively in a business, and that's not often the case. We applaud Michael and his wife for their business and the things that they do in the community to try and give us some variety in the spice of Jacksonville.
Yes, and so if you have an opportunity to participate in the Taste of Soul, which is on March 16th, you can contact Michael for some tickets, and that's right before voting. That's voting is March the 19th, correct? That's the voting for not the
absolutely
not early voting, but that is the actual
the primary
voting day,
the primary elections. And if your candidate doesn't get past the primary, they won't be in the general. Remember that. So get out and vote, folks. You already registered. Great. I think the deadline for that is coming up
the 19th.
Early next week.
Yes, the 19th.
February 19th. So, you know, get out and vote. I mean, get out, register, and vote. And those of you that have been incarcerated, there's an opportunity for you to register to vote as well. So let's exercise our rights and get out and vote for the candidates and issues that are going to help our family, our communities, our neighborhoods, and people in the general community. We need to take care of self.
Yes, and like you said, those who are going to have some action, you know, behind those words and behind those papers and things that they're pushing. We want leaders that are going to actually do something where we can see positive change. Okay.
Great point. Positive change.
Positive change. And it looks like, you know, there's been some positive change downtown Jacksonville for the homeless. There's an urban rest stop for the homeless right now at the Sulzbacher Center. There was just an opening of this. There's a ribbon cutting with the mayor and Aaron Bowman, the president of city council. And this is a place where the homeless can go 5 days a week to stop by to take a shower. They can clean their clothes, relax, watch TV, get meals, and also get additional resources. They can be assigned a case manager to help with resources for shelter placement, health care, mailboxes, and employment assistance. So we have some positive change going on for the homeless with this new urban rest stop.
I need to see that rest stop and see how it operates. It sounds like an interesting concept. And I can tell you that in cities that have tried those before, that they've been a total failure. And hopefully this is something that has been well thought out and planned and be sustainable. Again, I know in Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, and Washington, D.C., these have been tried before. And, you know, it's the city is really committed to making it work. That's one thing. But if it's, you know, just for show, then it's not going to work. It'll soon pit her out, because most of the time the people that are using that aren't people that we commonly come in contact with in the downtown core. So folks tend to start evading those areas because of the population that utilizes those services there. So we have to be very cautious about the type of programs we put together and also the effectiveness of the outcomes.
Okay. Yes, Larry. And we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. This is Pastor Brinson. We are a small Christian dealership. It's called Faith Auto Sales.
Okay.
Located on the north side of town.
Mm-hmm.
We specialize in used cars and helping people get into cars that need affordable transportation.
Okay.
We're located right on New Kings Road out there at 10227 New Kings Road.
Mm-hmm.
We give back to the community. We help feed the homeless. We sponsor different events throughout the city to help the less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just out here just trying to love on people and give back to the community as God blesses us for used cars for our clients.
All right.
If you need us.
That's awesome.
That is.
How do they get in touch with you? A phone number or where you're located again?
The phone number is 904-735-1680.
Okay.
And we're located on the north side of town, right off of New Kings Road. Our address is 10227 New Kings Road.
Okay. All right. And that's Faith Auto Sales. And I appreciate you mentioning love in what you're saying. You're demonstrating love. We Larry and I were talking about that a little bit earlier. You know, so much hate's going on. So we thank you for what you're doing. And that's Faith Auto Sales off New Kings Road. If you're looking for a used car, you can call 904-735-1680.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your program.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So Faith Auto Sales, that's a good name. And
yes.
You know, if you're out there, you're looking for a used vehicle that's affordable, you know, check out Faith Auto Sales. And I know one of our salespeople will be out there talking to them about doing some advertising on the station. Because, they need to get the word out, let folks know what they're doing over there at Faith Auto Sales. And you know, we can probably help them. The people that are listening to our show are people that are praisers. They like praise music and so
yes.
forth. And so this is the air, this is the station to reach those people on and increase and enhance your brand.
Absolutely. And those who are probably in the market for a new car, you know, a lot of times during the tax season, you know, people take their refunds and put down payments for cars. What we don't want to do is be like this Florida resident who reported $18,000 in income, but also reported $1 million in taxes, and he received a $980,000 check from the IRS. So we want to mm-hmm. be honest in our reporting so that, you know, we don't have that to come back on us. Because they did catch it, Larry, later, after he'd already received the check, but they caught the error. Hello, Larry.
That's awesome, Jarman, and that they caught it. The fact of it is that it went through to start with, you know, and you know, come on, people. I mean, you know, you don't have to cheat, you know, because eventually they're going to catch you, and then if you can't repay the money that you were, you know, fraudulently received, then you're going to have to face some jail time or, you know, and repay the money. So is it worth it?
No,
I say not.
I say not either. And then we had some listeners off the air, Larry. I never got to answer this question. Not sure if you did, but someone questioned us about the salary of the school board members. You know, there was an article in the paper, I guess, about a school board member who was, you know, working Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a moment. I'm sorry. We'll chime you in just a minute. Larry, we were talking about that school board member, and we had someone question, you know, how much do school board members actually make, and who sets that? So
Yeah.
I don't think you...
And just quickly, John, because I know time is running out and I think we have a call on the line. But just quickly, you know, the question posed to us was that, hey, you know, this person resigned their position as an executive director who's a school board member to totally commit his time to the school board. And they were wondering, well, how much does the school board pay that someone can actually commit their time and energy? I applaud them for, you know, their sincerity and wanting to give the best service they can through the school board. But we'll address that next week.
Yes.
and explore it more. So do we have a caller?
We do. We have a caller. Good morning, caller. And we have 30
yes,
seconds.
This is Ethel. I want to find out that number. You say that if you have a kid that's low income and having problems, but you never did say, you say, come to the office.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
But where is your office located?
Okay, it's 531 West Union Street, but you can call 595-6516 to schedule an appointment.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, ma'am.
It's slowly.
595-